I don't know if you heard Barb, but they were supposed to do some special silly walks right there at a certain point. They didn't, but Denise Kellerman, you did a real nice job wherever she is. She was on her knees doing a silly walk. And she'll be on Facebook too. You want to show us some Monty Python walks? I didn't see it, so I don't know. But thanks for asking. This morning we're going to look at being fishers of men. And it's an expression that's used in Scripture, and I think that we're quite familiar with. But hopefully we'll gain a little insight into it. If you have a Bible, or if you want one, there's one right in front of you. We're going to read from Matthew chapter 4. Jesus called a number of people who worked with fish to come follow him. And so it's appropriate that he said he took something that they understood and he built upon it. Know that God wants to do that in your life. He doesn't want to teach you a whole new vocabulary, a whole new way of looking at life. I mean, in a sense he does, but he wants to build on who you are. And he knows how you're wired. He knows how you're gifted. And so here's what he said. We're in Matthew chapter 4, verse 18. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Jesus said, "Come follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." At once they left their nets and followed him. I love in the Old Testament, when Moses comes before God at the burning bush, God says to Moses, "What's in your hand?" It happened to be a staff. He used what Moses was familiar with, comfortable with, and he made it into something special. What are your gifts and your talents? Mine is not singing, and it's not dancing either, as a matter of fact. Those are not things that I'm really gifted. I remember being on a mission trip one time, and some of the team members were into doing these dances, you know, these sacred dances. I don't know what you call them. Anytime I dance, it's not sacred, I guarantee you that. But they wanted the whole team to do it, and there's times it's good to be the team leader, because I was just able to say, no, that's just not my area of gifting. God wants to use us in the areas that we are gifted in and to build upon those things. So the question is, how do we fish for people? How do we fish for people? Let's pray. Father, we pray you'd speak a word to our hearts this morning. We are surrounded by people that need to know of your grace. They need to know of your love. Sometimes it's the most fearful thing for us to think about communicating with other people about you. I pray this morning that you'd encourage us in that area. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. How do we fish for people? It's apropos that we have the children up here this morning. There's great things that are happening downstairs every week with the children, but this morning they happen to be with us. Here are some basic statistics as far as children making a profession of faith in Christ. 43% of all people who commit their lives to Christ make a decision for Jesus by the time they're 13 years old. That's almost half the people who do it by 13. 64% make that decision by the time they're 18 years old. Between the ages of 18 and 21, another 13%, which, if you do the math, that's 77%, make a decision for Christ prior to being 22 years old. Do you understand why churches need to focus on children, need to have good children's programs, need to have good youth programs? Now, I know some of you would say, well, if that's the case, and there's only 23% of the fish to catch out there that are over 22, we just shouldn't bother there at all. You know, the truth of the matter is that there's many people who have an encounter with God when they're 7 years old, when they're 12 years old, when they're 19 years old, but they drift away from the church. It's something that's so common in the United States today. You think about it. Your workplace, relatives, you talk to people that you would think, oh, you know, they wouldn't be interested in Jesus. You talk to them a little bit, you find out they've been a Christ follower for a long time. They might have drifted away, but during those formative years, they made a decision for Jesus. That's one of the reasons why it's so important to invest in younger generations. Things like an Easter egg hunt. We'll probably have several hundred children who will come out here. And even if, you know, they don't become Christ followers on the day they come out here, we're planting seeds. It's important to reach the children of our community. Our world is increasingly a dangerous place, especially for those who are young, who are vulnerable. And we have a mandate from Jesus to not refuse the little ones, but to include them in the things that we're doing. I love, and I wonder how many parents and grandparents here cling to the verse that says, raise up a child in the way that he should go, and when he grows old, he won't depart from it. That you give that foundation to a child. Don't let anyone discourage you with that. As you train your children, you're giving them something that's priceless. Now, if you're going to fish, you need lures and bait. Well, that's one way of going about it. So I asked, let me see if I can even open it. I asked one of my fisherman friends, I have to put the mic down for a moment. I can't even open it. That's right, I have a microphone. So, this is a lure for a fish. Is this a lure for you? Probably not. I hope you're not out there just thinking, I can't wait to sink my teeth into that thing. Okay. Now, he's got some other, you got a green one here. Is this a fly? Oh, no, that's not a fly. That used to be some other bait that's still stuck on there, I think. Okay. How about worms? Are worms, is that a lure for you? My wife's like, yes. If we were to tell you next Sunday we're going to have all the earthworms you can fill your pockets with, right? I mean, that's just, it doesn't work for us. But that does work for fish. So we need to kind of understand how fish, oh, wait a minute, these are flies, right? Right? So these you want to bring across the top of the water, right? Is that, it's Tim?
Yes.
Yes, okay. Usually the answer is just yes, okay? So yeah, it's a fly, and they think that it's a fly skimming across the water. Another thing that's just a huge attraction for me, an insect, okay? I love the story of the guy that was going fishing, and he went to this place to buy bait, and they had night crawlers, and it says, all you want for a buck. It was such a good deal, he got $2 worth. I mean, what a bargain. Some of you are going to figure it out sooner or later. Okay. So, but if you want to catch a fish, you have to kind of think like a fish. If you want to catch a person, so to speak, if you want to fish for people, you have to be willing to identify with them. You have to be willing to understand them. Now, one of the things about fishing that probably Peter and Andrew and some of the guys would say is, we didn't use a lot of this stuff. That works, but what did they use? They use nets. So how do you use a net? One of the key things with a net, I'm going to give these back to you before I hurt myself. I hate fishing. Thank you. Thank you very much. It's kind of like door-to-door sales. I feel like fishing is sort of like door-to-door sales. Don't worry about it. It's me. If you want to catch fish with a net, you have to know where the fish are. Remember the account of where Peter comes in, he's been fishing all night, and Jesus says, let's go back out. And Peter pretty much says, look, you're a preacher, I'm a fisherman. There's no fish out there. Jesus said, I think there are. Let's try it. And of course, he takes in such a huge haul of fish, they couldn't even count them all, okay? And Peter was humbled by that, even to the point where he said, man, just get away from me. You're like righteous and I'm not. You're good and I'm not worthy to even be around you. But the point is, if you're going to catch fish, you have to be around them. One of the things that the church has been good at times, which isn't good, is getting away from people that don't speak the language, getting away from people that don't come to church. It'd be kind of like going fishing and saying, why won't all the fish come here? Here's where I'm at. No, we need to go to where the fish are. And we need to speak the right language for the fish. If you want to know how to speak fish, talk to Tim. He talks to fish and they talk back to him. I just found that out. But we need to speak English to people and not churchies and not Christianese. Sometimes we come up with all sorts of different lingo that people that aren't a part of church aren't really going to understand. But we need to go to where they are. The reality is most of us are. But over the course of time, sometimes the communication we have with people that don't do some of the stuff we do, it kind of breaks down. But we need to be where the fish are. We can't keep coming to church and blame the fish for not coming. We need to give them a reason to come as well. I love what Titus chapter 2, verse 10 says. It talks about making the gospel attractive. So how do we lure people in? It's not going to be with shiny metal things. It's not going to be with things that look like flies or worms or something like that. People care about their children. We need to, and I'll mention it again, we need to have a solid children's program. Thank you to every person who works in the nursery. Thank you to every person who works in children's church on a Sunday morning. You're off this morning, but week after week, month after month, you're down there investing in your children and other people's children. It's so key that we have things that are for the children. One of the problems that we run into in this whole thing of fishing, and we're going to run a video here, it's a little heads up for you back there, is that a lot of people think that they wouldn't be welcome at church. I mean, I could ask you to raise your hands and say, how many of you would feel at some point in your life you wouldn't be welcome at church? Or if I asked the question, how many of you would say, I've gone to churches I wasn't welcome at? And then I could even ask, how many of you don't feel welcome here today? There's a problem that we have where sometimes we feel like we've crossed a line, that we've done something. A lot of people think that church people aren't going to want them. We've got a quick video. It's sort of for the kids, but I think you'll enjoy it. I want to see more of that episode some other time. But anyway, the point of that is that I think that's how a lot of people feel, folks. I can't go back to my father's house. I've done something. I broke a relationship. I broke something. I've crossed a line. It is a prevalent disease in the world that people feel that God doesn't care about. And we sang Jesus Loves Me this morning. It's so simple. It's so basic. But I said it in my prayer. There's really only two kinds of people in the world: those who understand that Jesus loves them and those who don't. There's a point where we get it that what Jesus did, he did for us. That the things that he said to the disciples, that he'd say those things to us because he loves us. If we can get that through our hearts, we're taking a big step ahead. If we could understand that there's a lot of fish in the sea around us that are thinking God doesn't want them, we need to let them know that God wants them, that God is greater than their guilt. He's greater than their regrets in life. He's greater than their lifestyle. He's greater than anything else, that he welcomes them, that everyone is welcome. I'm going to show you some of our mail. I'm going to get to that in a moment. But the first one is here. I got a postcard from another church. So when I see these come out, then I go around the neighborhood and I get all of them and I throw them out. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. I do. Thank you for laughing. I do get some good ideas from here. And then I heard this on the radio this morning too. It says it's the perfect place for imperfect people. I like that. The perfect place for imperfect people. You know that for 3 years we've been using this expression, no perfect people allowed. There are no perfect people, so we don't want to act like we're perfect. But that's the reality, is that we're inviting people who are broken. We're going to get to a story in Scripture in just a moment, and we'll spend a little time on there. And I'm going to try to preach a little shorter today, which is, I know the children and their parents and grandparents are very happy about. So, now, I get a lot of mail at my house. Some of it, occasionally, is addressed to me. My wife gets a lot of mail. Her kids get mail at our house. My brother, who passed away 9 years ago, he still gets mail. My mom passed away she gets mail at our house. I mean, there are days where, what's in the mail? Nothing. Nothing for me. Nothing at all. But I got to tell you this. My brother passed away 9 years ago, and he still gets medical bills. You think the medical people would know that it didn't work, okay, and that they shouldn't be trying to get any more money out of him, and that we're not going to pay the bill either. Heidi, out of the kindness of her heart, called these people and said, please, you know, my brother-in-law, Jim, passed away. And they said, well, we need a death certificate. She's like, I don't have one. I'm just trying to help you so you don't have to keep sending this bill. But I get a lot of mail at the house. I get bills. And I get people that want my money, okay? This is for Life Milk or something like that, okay? Do you guys open everything that comes to your house? No, I don't either. That's why churches send out postcards. We know that. We know that people don't open mail, okay? Here's my Visa bill. Who'd like it? Who'd like to pay this for me, okay? That's what I thought. Okay, I'm going to have to pay that one. I like when I get personal things in the mail. It's a birthday card. Birthdays always remind me of the giant redwoods on the West Coast. The way they stand tall and proud year after year, century after century, their majestic beauty never fails to take my breath away. Thank you for planting them. Happy birthday. I like that one. Here's an anniversary card I gave my wife this year. This year. But it was 2 weeks ago yesterday. If I hadn't found you, it's not an actual photo, I'd probably be driving somebody else nuts. I like that one. I didn't get any argument from my wife. It's like, wow, that's really nice card. That's beautiful. Then there's, I had a procedure done a while ago. We learned that from Billy Crystal. We don't have surgery, we just have procedures. And I had some anesthesia, $378. Who wants to pay for it? That's what I thought. Okay. There are some things that come in the mail that you're looking forward to. And I knew Heidi was looking forward to this because this is a young lady that we know that's really like part of Heidi's extended family. And she's getting married on June 28th. And the ceremony is going to be in Geneva and the reception, actually very close to our house at the Abington. Very nice invitation. You can spend a lot of money on invitations. And Heidi said, make sure I get this invitation back. Folks, invitations, they're personal. Not everybody's invited to this wedding. And not everybody's invited to the reception. Jesus likened the kingdom of God to a party. He said, the kingdom of God is like a wedding banquet. And to put it into the vernacular, it's really what he's saying is the kingdom of God, it's a party. It's not a church service. I'll be honest. I am grateful that when we get to heaven, that it's not just going to be, thank you for coming to church. Please have a seat for eternity. Okay, that would not interest me. After a while, that would get old, like at an hour and 15 minutes. In Matthew chapter 22, Jesus spoke to them again in parable, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servants to those who'd been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused to come. Jesus, here in Matthew 22, is telling the account. He's saying, the irony is that I came here to the children of Israel, and I came and you were invited, and now that it's time for the party, you don't want to come to the party. I mean, what's wrong with you? I mean, sometimes there's people who are like, oh, I don't want to do this or that. But it's like, a party? A banquet? But that's the case. So then he sent some more servants and said, tell those who have been invited that I've prepared my dinner. My oxen and fattened cattle have been butchered. We're talking prime rib, filet mignon. We're talking the works here. And everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet. But they paid no attention and went off, one to his field, another to his business. The rest seized his servants, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his army and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, the wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not come. Go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find. So the servants went out into the streets, gathered all the people they could find, both good and bad, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. God has sent out an invitation to his party to everyone. It doesn't matter whether you're good or bad. It doesn't matter anything about your background, about your current life. He sent an invitation. I want to share just a few things about this whole concept of an invitation. First and foremost is that it's for everyone. There's no one who's excluded, and that's a big part of what Jesus was communicating with this account here. Here's the other thing with an invitation. This is not anyone else's responsibility to respond to but Heidi and I. I'm not going to say, George, could you check my calendar for me and reply and tell them what I want for dinner? You don't reply for somebody else. You don't respond to an invitation for somebody else. Each and every one of us has to do that ourselves. It's a choice that we get to make. Do we realize the incredible privilege that God has given us in a free will? That he allows us to decide. Nobody else gets to decide for us. Some churches would seem to be deciding for groups of people that you're not invited, or you're not invited, or if you do this, you're not invited. But God says, no. No one makes that decision for you. You have the free will to make the decision to respond to the invitation. Folks, I think we get scared when we talk about evangelism. All we are talking about is inviting. That's all it is. And so we want to properly make the gospel attractive. Sometimes we need to be a little brighter about it, but we have a message of grace, of hope, that can touch people's lives. We have to respond for ourselves. We're not instructed. We are instructed to invite and not decide for other people. You've probably heard me say it before, but sometimes people say, oh, I'd invite my neighbors to church, but they wouldn't come. Well, how do you know? Because I have this prophetic gift, and I just know they wouldn't come. You mean you're scared to ask them? Yeah, that's pretty much what it is. Don't decide for somebody else. And you don't have to get inside their head anything else. It's just like, just invite them. I will ask you this question to respond to. How many of you, was there a time in your life where you would have said, I never would have expected to be a Christian? There's quite a few of us. How many of you would have said you never would have expected me to be a preacher? Now, I'll just answer that one. I did not expect that one. Did not see that one coming. In John chapter 1, so simple. If I were to ask you to tell me something about the disciple Andrew, he's one of the apostles, okay? I mean, he's one of the 12 who's closest to Jesus. But if I ask you to tell me something about him, we don't know much about him. What we do know, his great claim to fame in John chapter 1, verse 40, here's what it says. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John the Baptist had said and had followed Jesus this one day. The first thing Andrew did after he'd hung out with Jesus for the day was to find his brother Simon and tell him. And then it says, and he brought him to Jesus. It's that simple. We just tell our story. We hang out with Jesus, and we just tell people. And we're not saying that they have to come to church. We're not saying that they have to decide anything. Just tell the story. But Peter was intrigued enough. He's just like, okay, well, I'll go check him out. And the rest is history. Peter was used to turn the world right side up. I like that when people say, well, the apostles, man, they turned the world upside. No, they didn't turn it upside down. It is upside down. And we need people that are going to turn it back right side up. So why am I sharing this with you about invitations? As we're looking forward to Easter, the message series that we're going to start on Easter Sunday and go for 6 weeks. You've got a slide, I think. I think we're going to take a look at that. Does your world feel upside down? Okay? Just think about it for a moment. How many things in our world feel upside down? How many bank accounts feel upside down? We don't want to go there. How many mortgages feel upside down? How many relationships are upside down? How many things are broken? I think we identify with it. We're going to send out a postcard to about 5,000 households right around here to invite people. And here's the other side of it. And it just says, let's turn it around. Okay? If your world feels upside down, we don't have all the answers, but let's do it together. Let's turn things around. That's going to be the new series. It mentions the egg hunt on there. It mentions a couple of other things on there. But that's the postcard that we're going to be sending out. Thanks. We're going to come up with a smaller version of it, and they will arrive before next Sunday. And we printed up there in Texas right now being printed. But we're going to have these so you can invite friends. And it's not just for Easter. We really would encourage you to let people know it's a series that's starting. But that's all we're asking you to do. Just invite people. Let other people decide. Let other people use their free will and say no if they don't want to come. And they'll probably still be your friend. Okay? Encourage you to invite people. We've been doing some things around here, and that's part of the reason why, and you'll see a few other minor changes around. We've just been trying to do some things to make our house ready for company. I mean, you do that at home, don't you? You get your house ready when company comes over. We understand how that works. We're just trying to get things ready here. Folks, as we invite people here, we're not going out there with shiny objects and chasing them. I love the thing that Jesus said. How are people going to know that the invitation is legit? How are they going to know that it's really coming from me? Jesus said the way that people are going to know that the messenger is authentic. Your calling card when you invite people is real simple. Jesus said they will know that you're one of my followers because you love people. That's how they're going to know. It's that simple. It's not the clothes you wear. It's not your hairstyle. It's not specifically where you go to church. It's that you love people. It's that simple. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning. I thank you for each person who's here. Each and every one of us at some point got invited to a church service. Each and every one of us probably been invited to receive Christ as our Savior. We chose to respond in a positive way at some point. Father, I pray that you would put it on our hearts, that your heart breaks for the people that aren't coming to the party, that your heart breaks for the people that haven't responded to the invitation. And your heart breaks even more for those who don't know that they've been invited. Father, we ask that you'd use us as a community, a faith community, to extend the invitation to people that we think are good, and even as the parable said, even to people that we think are bad. It doesn't matter. The invitation goes to everyone, and the people decide. Father, we pray that you would use us for your kingdom purposes. Father, there might be those here this morning that would say, I've never responded to the invitation of Jesus for him to be my Savior, for me to receive him into my life. Maybe this morning is the time for someone. Simply invite Christ to be your Savior. Take him up at his word that he's the Son of God and that he died for your sin. Father, thanks for being amongst us this morning. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We invite you to stand.